Hi, this is Bob Enyart. Today, you're going to hear a discussion I had with author Gary DeMar, well-known Christian. I think you'll find it fascinating. It's a bit of a debate between covenant theology and dispensationalism. I am a dispensationalist. I believe that God changed the rules, and he had two covenant peoples, Israel and the body of Christ, the covenant of circumcision and the covenant of grace, of uncircumcision. And so that affects your understanding of end times prophecy. So we'll talk through all that, but remember, this is our telethon, and if you can help us, boy, will we appreciate it. You can call us at 800-8-ENYART to help us reach our goal of $25,000, 800-836-9278, or you could go online to our website, kgov.com, and give that way. Please help us out if you can, and now let's listen to the show.
Warning, there's truth of
greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, if you've heard, we have been having a discussion with Gary DeMar, very well-known author. He is a covenant theologian from the Reformed movement within Christianity. That means he believes in predestination, basically Calvinism, and he is opposed to dispensationalism. But we've been having a great discussion. He wrote a column recently criticizing dispensationalist Dr. Henry Morris. Of all people, the founder of ICR, Institute for Creation Research, Dr. Morris is the father of young earth creationism of the last century. Because of the foundation he laid, his ministry upon God's word, the Bible, and educating ourselves about what science really indicates, there are now millions of Christians who have been educated and are able to defend the biblical worldview that God created us, especially in the recent past, that the Big Bang is a lie and that we have not evolved from animals. So that's Dr. Henry Morris. And what Gary DeMar did was he wrote a column criticizing an interpretation Henry Morris made of a verse in Matthew 24. And it turns out I agree with Gary DeMar that Henry was incorrect on that passage. And that's what we're talking through, the end times and the timing of the second coming and the Lord gathering the elect. When will all that happen? And Gary DeMar, like other preterists and covenant theologians, he's arguing that all of Matthew 24, it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. By then, that was the end. All that was fulfilled. And we're arguing, no, that's not true. And the discussion brings us through the Bible in a rather fascinating way. So we will rejoin that in progress. But first, I want to tell you, our telethon is going well. We've never had this happen before, where so early in the month, we have made such a good start on our goal. This is our vital goal of $25,000 to keep Bob Enyart Live on the air for another year. We are on the 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. It really is, too. It covers almost all of Colorado and gets into seven neighboring states. If you go to our website, kgov.com, look on the bottom of the homepage at affiliates, and you'll see a coverage map of where people can hear the radio broadcast. Then, of course, we upload the show. We stream it live on the internet at kgov, kgov.com. And then you could listen 24 hours a day. The archives are online for free. They go back for years. And so we reach many people beyond our radio broadcast footprint through the internet. We're thankful to God for that. So if you could help us with our telethon, please call. Please consider making a one-time donation or a monthly pledge, or you could subscribe either to our monthly Bible study albums, our monthly sermons, our monthly videos, or we've introduced a brand new subscription, the BEL Televised Classics. There are so many people who wish they could watch the Bob Enyart Live TV show that aired in 80 cities from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida for years. Well, guess what? You can watch it. It's back, only this time mastered digitally mastered onto DVDs. I think you'll love it. So you could subscribe to 4 Bob and Yurt Live TV shows a month. They come to you in the mail for $24.99 a month, or 8 shows a month for $34.99, or 16 shows a month for $49.99. And if you subscribe to any of our monthly services, we take that monthly amount and times it by 10 and apply it to our telethon goal. So if you sign up for 16 Bob and Yurt Live TV shows a month, that $50 a month, we apply to the telethon as $500 toward our goal of $25,000. Okay, I've said way too much. Let's now join, in progress, my discussion with Gary DeMar. Let me read it and let's see if this was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That did not happen 2,000 years ago.
Yes, it did happen.
Okay, all right. Now, the audience could deal with that. The audience
very simple.
Yeah.
Verse 34 is very clear. Verse 33 and verse 34, I don't know how it could be any more clear.
All right, Gary.
Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place.
Okay, and Gary,
let me repeat this again.
Yes,
every time this generation is used in the Gospels, it refers to the generation
that
Jesus is speaking.
Amen, of course
now,
it
does.
Now,
let's go back and look at the passages you just cited.
Yes.
Let's look at verse 29 here. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, that's a direct quotation out of Isaiah chapter 13, and the same language is used for the destruction of Babylon. Now, Jesus is appropriating that language and is applying it to first century Israel.
When Babylon was destroyed, the Lord did not return, and the angels didn't gather the elect.
Well, I'm going to go through these passages point by point.
Hey, Gary.
If you look at Genesis chapter 37, it describes Israel as sun, moon, and stars. You see the same thing in Revelation chapter 12. Jesus is describing, using the language of the Old Testament regarding judgment, the judgment of nations, how that this is happening to Israel in the same way. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is a direct quotation right out of Daniel chapter 7, and if you look at Daniel chapter 7, this isn't a depiction of the Son of Man coming down to earth to set up as a kingdom. It is his coming up to the Ancient of Days for his vindication, for his redemptive work. The sign is that the Son of Man is in heaven, and that the tribes of the land will mourn because their whole system was being destroyed.
All right. So you're asserting that when the Lord spoke of his coming, he was referring to coming to heaven, and this speaks of all the tribes of the earth will see the Son of Man coming, and the angels will gather all the elect. But I agree with you that Jesus said the generation he was speaking to would see all these things. I agree with that. But I don't want to then say, therefore, all these dramatic prophecies of the Lord's return and the judgment of the nations, they must refer to something else. I believe Jesus asserted explicitly many times over that his second coming would happen in the near term, during their lives, and then, because of Luke 13 and many other examples, Jesus had warned Israel. He was getting ready to cut off Israel. For 3 years, the prophecies were for Israel, and for 3 years he came seeking fruit on the fig tree, and he found none, and he wanted to cut it down. But the keeper of the ground said, "Let me fertilize it," like pouring out the Holy Spirit so there would be the fruit of the Spirit. "Let me fertilize it, and then after another year, if there is no fruit, if the nation of Israel rejects the resurrected Messiah, then cut it down." So when we get into the book of Acts, the first half of the book of Acts is mostly all Peter, and it's directed to the nation of Israel. Israel rejects the resurrected Messiah. God cuts off Israel, grafts in the body of Christ through the Apostle Paul. Paul describes this in Romans 11, where he says that Israel was cut off, not permanently, not totally, but Israel was cut off. The Gentiles were grafted in, and God will graft Israel back in again when the fullness of the Gentiles comes to pass. So Jesus was prophesying for Israel, I will return. The tribulation is the time of Jacob's trial. It's for Israel. I will return and give you your kingdom, but they rejected their resurrected king. So how could God give a kingdom to those who hate the king? So
first
God
of all,
cut off.
Israel did not reject Jesus. The first converts were Jews.
Of course they were, but as a nation.
Thousands and thousands of them, priests and so forth,
of
came
course,
to Christ.
Yeah, there were some thousands. That's right, but as a nation.
It's always a remnant, and we can look at Romans chapter 11 because I think you're passing up some very crucial elements here. But listen, I'm going to go John Walvoord again, a dispensation. Let me read this to you. Actually, while the fig tree could be an apt illustration of Israel, it is not so used in the Bible. In Jeremiah 24, 1 through 8, good and bad figs illustrate Israel in the captivity, and there is also mention of figs in 29, 17. The reference to the fig tree in Judges 9, 10, chapter 9, verses 10 through 11, is obviously not Israel, neither the reference in Matthew 21, 18 through 20, nor that in Mark 11, 12 through 14, with its interpretation in 11, 20 through 26. Gives any indication that is referring to Israel any more than the mountain referred to in the passage. And I let me tell you, I understand why Walvoord's done this. Accordingly, while this interpretation is held by many, there is no clear scriptural warrant. The better interpretation is Christ was using a natural illustration. Because the fig tree brings forth new leaves late in the spring, the budding of the leaves is evidence that summer is near. In a similar way, when those living in the Great Tribulation see the signs predicted, they will know that the second coming of Christ is near. The signs in this passage correlate are not the revival of Israel, but the Great Tribulation. And I understand why Walvoord did this, because he understands in Matthew 21, 18 through 20, Jesus says there will never be fruit
okay.
from the tree.
Now, that was your second question to me. I'd like to answer that.
And I want you also to answer that Luke, the parallel account in Luke, on the Olivet Discourse, notice what Luke says. He says that it's not just the fig tree, it's all the trees.
Yeah, right, because this is obviously, it's symbolic language. Christ is warning somebody of something.
Exactly.
What he's warning.
The destruction of Jerusalem that was going to take place before that generation passed away.
Well, and that's beyond the year that was granted extra, but I'll grant you that when you have a parable, you can't necessarily interpret a parable literally because it's symbolic. But Jesus was teaching something, warning somebody about something. He said, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree. I've found none. Cut it down. God was angry with Israel. Just like repeatedly he threatened to destroy Israel in the wilderness so often, and then he repented. And God said, I am weary of repenting. So often my wrath has burned against you. I want to destroy you. But because I love Abraham, because I have a plan through Abraham's descendants, I will not destroy you. So here, the same thing in the New Testament. Christ for 3 years sees this hatred of him, this burning hatred. Where he does his mightiest works, they hate him the most. And when he reveals his true message and who he really is, they want to kill him. And so he said, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit from this fig tree. I found none, cut it down. He would have cut down Israel, cut them off then, but God is merciful, and he had not been raised from the dead yet. So fertilize the ground, give it one more year, and then if there's no fruit. So Christ then was crucified, raised from the dead. This parable was toward the very end of his earthly ministry. He was crucified, raised from the dead, and poured out the Holy Spirit on all believers, and the nation of Israel rejected the resurrected Messiah. Of course, the first believers were all Jews. The first part of the book of Acts is all Jews. It's all for Israel. They preached the word to no one but the Jews only. But then God cut off Israel, not permanently, because Paul says, don't be conceited. You know, he's going to graft them back in again.
But when?
when the fullness of the Gentiles comes
and
in.
See, this again.
When God is done with the body of Christ.
No, that is there doesn't say anything like that, Bob.
Well,
I don't know where you get this stuff.
Well, it talks
look at
about
Romans
11. You're pulling,
you're pulling a verse out of its context.
Nope.
Look at it. Verse 11, chapter 11 begins with this. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he?
Right.
May it never be.
Right.
It doesn't say God will not. He says he has not.
That's because Paul says he will graft them back in again.
But listen to what it says. May it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have torn down thine altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. This is the same scenario that you find in Matthew chapter 23. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. It's a remnant, Paul says. In the same way, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice.
Right.
But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. What then? That which Israel is seeking for, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Paul isn't talking about something that's going to take place in the distant future. He was explaining what was taking place right then and there. The elect Israelites were there, and they were God was faithful to his promise, and God was grafting in now the elect church, or the elect non-Jews.
Hey, Gary, okay.
So what you got is, which is all dispensationalists have, is you've got to create this parenthesis of 2,000 years in order to make this stuff fit, and there's no parenthesis mentioned in here.
Gary, I want to be respectful of your time. I don't want to take advantage. You have the greater ministry. You reach more people. You've brought more people to the Lord than we have. So why don't we put a cap on this and say, let's finish talking through Romans 11, and then if you'd like...
No, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 24.
Okay, well then let's finish...
All
right, then great. But let's finish Romans 11 first, okay? Because Paul then talks about that God has cut off Israel. He's grafted in the Gentiles. And that... But he's not done...
He hasn't cut off Israel.
Okay, let's continue. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Verse 11. Israel, certainly not, but through their fall, through Israel's fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. All right, so Israel rejected the resurrected Messiah. That's why the nation of Israel then and today
is
not Christian.
Let's be clear here.
Yeah.
The Israel did not reject Messiah.
Well, the Jewish nation never became Christian.
Well,
The
Sanhedrin. Want to say it that way, but keep in mind here that Paul, very early on in this chapter, Paul is dealing with the biblical model.
Okay.
The biblical model is a remnant based upon Elijah. It isn't based upon our conceptions of what it constitutes Israel. It's based upon the biblical view of what constitutes is true Israel, and true Israel was always considered a remnant.
Yeah, when God cuts off Israel here in this chapter, when God cut them off because of unbelief, he wasn't cutting off the believers, so he was cutting off something. So verse 15 says this, I'd like to ask you what your thought is on it. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So you started introducing this chapter correctly. This is about Israel. And Paul says, if they're being cast away, and then he's going to say that they were cut off because of unbelief, but God can graft them back in again. So if they're being cast away is the reconciling of the world. Now, the reconciling of the world, that was Jesus Christ, his death, his blood shed for us, and the resurrection. But why does Paul say, if they're being cast away is the reconciling of the world? And I'll be happy to answer that if you like.
Well, you go ahead and answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. When God cut off Israel, God's plan was for Israel to come to the Messiah, and then they would be tried in their Jacob's tribulation, and then the Messiah would return to establish their kingdom. But if they hated the king, he would not bless them and give them the kingdom as he said he would, as he thought he would do, Jeremiah 18. Instead, he would cut them off. And so Jesus said, for 3 years I've come to the fig tree. There's no fruit. Cut it off. But no, wait, let's fertilize, let's give the Holy Spirit, and if the fruit of the Spirit comes from the nation, from the Sanhedrin, from the priesthood, then fine. But if not, then cut them off. So Paul says that Israel was cut off because of unbelief, and their being cast away is the reconciling of the world. When God cut off Israel, no longer did a proselyte believer have to be circumcised or keep the Sabbath or the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 17 with circumcision. Now, we only believe, we're saved by grace through faith, and we do not circumcise our children. We do not need to keep the Sabbath, not work on Saturday, otherwise we'd be put to death, because God has turned to the Gentiles in the body of Christ. So that's what Paul is saying when he says, when Israel was cast away, the world was reconciled to God, because no longer do you have to come through the covenant of circumcision. No longer do you become a proselyte Jew.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't disagree with any of that. The question here is the timing of all of this. You see, what the dispensationalist has to do, he's got to put this parenthesis.
But if
you notice what Paul is dealing with here, he is seeing the fulfillment of these Old Testament passages regarding Israel as being fulfilled in his particular day, and the only difference is that Gentiles are grafted in. What the dispensationalist has to do is say, no, the prophetic time clock stopped at this particular time. Now we're in the parenthesis where now God is dealing with the church.
Right.
And then the rapture is going to come, and it's going to take the church off the earth, and then God's going to deal with Israel again. You don't find any of this in Romans chapter 11.
Well, let me ask you a question. You just said the only thing here is that the Gentiles are grafted in.
What I'm saying here is that what Paul is dealing with here is he's showing how God has been faithful to his promises, that the gospel is to go to the Gentiles. And he gives an Old Testament example, and he shows he is, in fact, a prime example that God has fulfilled his promises to the Jews. And he says, not just to me, but they're just like in Elijah's day, where Elijah said, I'm the only one. He says, there's 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And throughout the book of Acts, which you agree with me on, the gospel goes out to the Jew first, and the remnant is being brought in. And then what you find out later on in the book of Acts is that Gentiles are also being grafted in, something Peter could not accept. And so after the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, the idea of Israel as a particular nation that is a redemptively special people is now gone. And what we have is one people of God. We've got one tree, one olive tree, not a fig tree over here and an olive tree over here. It's one olive tree made up of believing Jews and believing Gentiles throughout history. Your dispensationalists are still trying to hold on to an old covenant system that was literally dead and buried, and we're living in terms of the new covenant, as you said, all these Old Testament laws restraining us regarding circumcision and so forth and so on are no longer applicable because we are in the new covenant in Christ. I mean, in fact, that's what the book of Hebrews, notice how the book of Hebrews begins. And in fact, it deals with the very thing that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. Book of Hebrews opens up with God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son,
right,
whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The last days aren't something that's going to, in the distant future.
No, that meant Jesus Christ came. Right,
the last days of the old covenant.
Yeah, in these last days, he's talking about just recently the Lord came after thousands of years of prophecies, the Messiah came.
Exactly, Gary, the last days of the old covenant.
Let's continue in Romans 11. Paul says that because of unbelief, they were broken off. But then he says, but don't be conceited, because this has happened to Israel only until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and then God will graft them in again because he's able to graft them in again. You recall all those verses, right? That's 20 through 25.
Yeah.
So he's talking about Israel, and God said, because of unbelief, they were broken off, but don't be conceited, because this has only happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in.
Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles?
The body of Christ.
Wait a minute. The body of Christ is made up of
Jew and Gentile. That's right. But the difference is we no longer need to circumcise our children to be part of God's national covenant with Israel. So you have Israel in their covenant of circumcision, and you were circumcised, and then you were a proselyte Jew. Today, in the body of Christ, there is no circumcision, neither Jew nor Gentile, circumcision nor uncircumcision, but we are the body of Christ, which is Gentile in nature because it's not of circumcision.
That doesn't answer the question.
Yes, it does.
I want to know the fullness. You're assuming the fullness of the Gentiles is the church age.
Is the body of Christ.
No, but you're assuming that I'm dealing with timing elements here. You're assuming that the fullness of the Gentiles is the full period of the church age.
Okay, yeah, you could say that. I prefer to say the body of Christ because that's the phrase.
That tells what? I want to know when.
When God cut off Israel about 1 year after the resurrection in the book of Acts.
When is the fullness of the Gentiles?
You just correctly asserted my position that that refers to the body of Christ. So when did it start? When will it end? I'll answer that. It started about 1 year after the resurrection when Israel as a nation rejected their Messiah. So God, through the Apostle Paul, sent him as the apostle to the Gentiles to teach no circumcision. That brought him a lot of conflict and tension with the 12 apostles, but he prevailed throughout. And that's when the gospel of the uncircumcision was preached to the world through Paul. The apostles, they all stayed in Jerusalem. And it will continue until God is complete with his purpose for the body of Christ. If that means another 10,000 years or a million years or tomorrow, I don't know. But Paul says that Israel was cut off because of unbelief. And then God, he says, don't be ignorant or conceited because this has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Then God will graft them back in again because they were the natural branches, the Jews, and he is therefore able to graft them back in again. And then Paul says that then all Israel will be saved, of course, figure of speech, all. And he says,
Wait a minute, this is another thing here. Yeah. It says all Israel will be saved.
Yeah, right. And all Judea came to John to be baptized.
But all Israel weren't. I understand that, but right. See, this is, again, the problem you've right. got here. You know, you're taking some of these things and you're saying this and that about them. You get all Israel, but of course I know it's not all Israel. Who is the all in this passage?
All, right.
all Israel.
All right.
It's the remnant.
That means Israel as a nation, the group that's grafted
it
back
in. It
doesn't say
again. Anything about a nation. It says it's the remnant.
Okay, let me ask you this. When Paul says that because of unbelief they were broken off, but this has happened in part to Israel, verse 25, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and God is able to graft them back in again.
Verse 25, that's not verse 25.
No, I went to 25, that this has happened to Israel until...
I'm in the wrong chapter.
Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so from 20 through 25, maybe we should read right through. Would you like
to read
it?
Yeah, they were quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, and you stand only by your faith. See, again, Paul is talking about...
Who was broken off? Stop the tape. Once again, I have to interrupt my discussion with Gary DeMar of American Vision because the broadcast program of Bob and Yurt Live is a half hour. And so what we will do is continue this discussion. But I want to thank you for tuning in and ask you if you could help with our telethon. Our goal is 25,000. Please call us at 800-8-N-YARD, 800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com. Thank you so much for your help. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a neat school in Colorado, in Arvada, Maranatha.